CD 7.
The rite of Ashk Enti, quite simply, summons and binds death. Students of the occult will be aware that it can be performed with a simple incantation, 3 small bits of wood, and 4 cubic centimetres of mouse blood. But no wizard worth his pointy hat would dream of doing anything so unimpressive. They knew in their hearts that if a spell didn't involve big yellow candles, lots of rare incense, circles drawn on the floor with 8 different colours of chalk, and a few cauldrons around the place, then it simply wasn't worth contemplating. The 8 wizards at their stations on the point of the great ceremonial octagram swayed and chanted, their arms held out sideways so that they were just touching the fingertips of the mages on either side. But something was going wrong. True, a mist had formed in the very centre of the living octagram, but it was writhing and turning on itself, refusing to focus. "More power!" shouted Albert. "Give it more power!" A figure appeared momentarily in the smoke, black-robed and holding a glittering sword. Albert swore as he caught a glimpse of the pale face under the cowl. It wasn't pale enough. "No!" Albert yelled, ducking into the octagram and flailing at the flickering shape with his hands. "Not you! Not you!" And in faraway Tsort, Isabel forgot she was a lady, bunched her fist, narrowed her eyes, and caught Mort squarely on the jaw. The world around her exploded. In the kitchen of Haga's House of Ribs, the frying pan crashed to the floor, sending the cats scurrying out of the door. In the great hall of the Unseen University, everything happened at once. This is not precisely true. It is generally agreed by philosophers that the shortest time in which everything can happen is 1,000 billion years. The tremendous force the wizards had been exerting on the Shadow Realm suddenly had one focus. Like a reluctant cork from a bottle, like a dollop of fiery ketchup from the upturned sauce bottle of infinity, death landed in the octagram and swore. Albert realized, just too late, that he was inside the charmed ring and made a dive for the edge. But skeletal fingers caught him by the hem of his robe. The wizards, such of them who were still on their feet and conscious, were rather surprised to see that Death was wearing an apron and holding a small kitten.
"Why did you have to spoil it all?"
"Spoil it all? Have you seen what the lad has done?"
snapped Albert, still trying to reach the edge of the ring. Death raised his skull and sniffed in the air. The sound cut through all the other noises in the hall and forced them into silence. It was the kind of noise that is heard on the twilight edges of dreams, the sort that you wake from in a cold sweat of mortal horror. It was the snuffling under the door of dread. It was like the snuffling of a hedgehog, but if so, then it was the kind of hedgehog that crashes out of the verges and flattens lorries. It was the kind of noise you wouldn't want to hear twice. You wouldn't want to hear it once. Death straightened up slowly.
"Is this how he repays my kindness? To steal my daughter, insult my servants, and risk the fabric of reality on a personal whim? Oh, foolish, foolish! I have been foolish too long."
"Master, if you would just be so good as to let go of my robe..." began Albert, and the wizard noticed a pleading edge to his voice that hadn't been there before.
Death ignored him. He snapped his fingers like a castanet, and the apron around his waist exploded into brief flames. The kitten, however, he put down very carefully and gently pushed away with his foot.
"Did I not give him the greatest opportunity?"
"Exactly, Master. And now, if you could see your way clear to..."
"Skills... a career structure, prospects, a job for life."
"Indeed, and if you would but let go..."
The change in Albert's voice was complete. The trumpets of command had become piccolos of supplication. He sounded terrified, in fact, but he managed to catch Rincewind's eye and hiss.
"My staff! Throw me my staff! While he is in the circle, he is not invincible. Let me have my staff and I can break free."
Rincewind said,
"Pardon?"
"Oh, mine is the fault for giving in to these weaknesses of what, for want of a better word, I shall call the flesh."
"My staff, you idiot! My staff!"
gibbered Albert.
"Sorry?"
"Well done, my servant, for calling me to my senses," said Death. "Let us lose no time.